Well, you've probably heard of an AirTag, a little device for tracking an object. Now on Sunday Extra, we're going to hear about a very different kind of AirTag, the one that's being used to track the monarch butterfly. As the weather cools in Northern America each year, millions of monarch butterflies fly south from Canada and the northern states of America down to Mexico. And this year's migration saw the launch of a crowdsourced science initiative called Project Monarch that allowed anyone with a smartphone app to track the southward journey of individual monarch butterflies. And apparently, the data from Project Monarch has raised as many questions as it's answered. Jennifer Thieme is the Senior Science Manager at Monarch Joint Venture in the United States and has been heavily involved in Project Monarch. And I'm very pleased to say that Jennifer joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, Jennifer, you work for an organization entirely dedicated to one species of butterfly. So I feel like you're going to be able to manage this one. Could you tell us what is so special about monarch butterflies?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, great question. What we really view monarchs as an ambassador for conservation. So monarchs are just a spectacularly recognizable insect. They really bring people together in North America and Central America. They have a lot of cultural significance and historical significance. And the sheer fact of their migration really brings people together around conservation. What's great about viewing them as an ambassador is the habitats that they live in are also homes to hundreds and hundreds of other important plants and animals. And so by bringing some attention and interest to monarchs, we're also able to conserve spaces for other critically important animals. Monarchs, as you probably know, in North America have been declining for decades. And so we are working to reverse that trend, stabilize their population, and fortunate that there's a lot of wonderful engagement around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're beautiful and delicate creatures. And the migration is spectacular. Could you just tell us a bit more about the migration journey of the monarchs?
Well, we are in the two spaces that really have migratory monarchs. So monarchs evolved in North America, but around the mid-1800s, they dispersed across the oceans. So now they're over in Australia, they're in certain spaces in Europe, they're New Zealand. And in Australia, New Zealand, and North America, they have migratory populations. They're a little different from each other in the way that they migrate. So here where I am, we do have very cold winters. They would not be able to survive as adults in northern North America, in southern Canada, throughout most of the United States. So they migrate down to central Mexico. It's about 3,000 miles, and they do that in the fall. It's a single individual that will fly from its breeding ground in the United States or southern Canada down to central Mexico. That individual will overwinter there for 6 to 9 months. And that same individual will then fly hundreds of miles north back up to the southern United States and lay some eggs and reproduce. And that's where the next generation of monarchs starts, at least in our space. Migration is a little bit different in Australia. It's a little bit shorter term and only in certain areas. Down in southeast Australia, there's some migration. It's a little more flexible and has a smaller overwintering window where they're going from inland down toward the coast to overwinter in more moderate temperatures, not reproductive at that point in time. And then when it warms up, they'll migrate back over to where their milkweed species are that they can breed on.
Yes, they're nothing if not impressive frequent flyers. And the North American migration of, you know, up to 4,000 kilometers is really amazing. You did mention survival rates when you were speaking there. What percentage of the butterflies that head south actually make it to their final destination?
It's a little bit of an unknown. It's somewhere roughly estimated to be less than 20% from some of the studies that have used some sticker-related tags, somewhere between 1 and 20%. That can vary from year to year. And I know they're looking at those numbers with the new data set as well. They put out about 250,000 of those tagging stickers every year.
But we've moved well beyond stickers, haven't we, Jennifer? And that's one of the most exciting things about the migration this year. I'm absolutely intrigued by this tracking technology. I believe that the average monarch butterfly weighs around 0.5 grams. So just how small are these trackers and how on earth do you put them on?
So I had the good fortune to be able to do this. So these were developed from Cellular Tracking Technologies. It's a company based in the eastern United States. They are incredibly tiny. So if you're looking, they're smaller than like the fingernail on your pinky, like maybe half that size. So you capture the monarch. The tags have an antenna on them that might be about 2 inches long, I would say. So these rest on the monarch's abdomen. And we glue them. So last year, there were some great studies on how this may impact their movement and survival. They found very low to no impacts on how this is impacting their movement. And they also, along with that study, tested a variety of glues. So we used an eyelash glue. You paint a little bit on the monarch, and then you paint a little bit on the transmitter. You wait for it to kind of become tacky-like, and stick them together, let them rest until it's secured, and then let it go. And everyone that I have, just they fly right away. And you bid them farewell, and then check your phone app to see where they're heading to.
That's amazing. And given that you're using adhesive glue, I imagine that a delicate procedure has to be done very, very carefully, but it sounds like it all went off well. What is the tracking technology? I believe it's called Blue Morpho. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, these are radio tags. They're on a 2.4 gigahertz radio signal. It pings every few seconds, so it's always like sending off a signal. And there's actually two types of these tags, tiny little tags. One of them is able to be detected by certain specific receivers. And here in North America, the wildlife community has heavily invested in setting up these specialized receivers to pick up these radio signals. Similar but larger tags have been used on a lot of other animals, and we're using those to study animal movements in a variety of birds and bats and so on. So there's a lot of these receivers that can pick up that radio signal. The secondary type of this Blue Morpho Plus tag is that a minor modification that they made allows it to be detected by other devices. So internet connected, location enabled Bluetooth devices like a phone. If you have this app open and you're scanning, it can be picked up. So we're really able to get way more detections than we could with those that are reliant on stationary receivers.
And that's, I suppose, how the citizen science element comes into the project. Mm-hmm. The migration's already begun. What sort of response have you had from citizen scientists, and what sort of information has this astounding new tracking technology produced so far?
It's been amazing. So as people are logging into this, they're scanning, we're finding really interesting movements that we maybe didn't expect. For example, a cohort of our employees, our staff at Monarch Joint Venture released a whole bunch in Nebraska, which is right in the middle of the United States. And this was later in the migratory season. We expected them all just to jet south, as one would expect. They all went north for several days. So we were a little baffled, and with our phones out and with people around scanning, we were able to see that they kept moving north for a few days, then winds shifted. And so that's just one thing that some of us started to notice who are involved in this project, the impact that winds might play in the directional movement of monarchs. So very exciting to see how many detections are made now that more people are becoming involved.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Jennifer Thieme, the Senior Science Manager at Monarch Joint Venture, which is heavily involved, as Jennifer said, in Project Monarch. Now, you did mention that the numbers have been declining, Jennifer, but I suppose we should check about how many of the butterflies actually have these trackers on, because you're not putting them on all of them, are you?
That's right. I think they have a little over 500 tagged this fall.
So 500, that's an impressive number. What sort of engagement has the project and the ability to use the smartphone app to actually actively track, what sort of engagements that got from citizen scientists?
Well, it's generated a lot of interest. And so this is a great way to get people to understand the importance, really, of data collection and the power of using technology in this way. There are a lot of community science programs and a growing number of them that rely on technology in some way. A lot of app-based monitoring programs. So getting people engaged has been great. We've had a lot of interested people, from citizen scientists who maybe are sitting in their backyard and curious about tracking monarchs, to academic researchers who are seeking out new research projects. So that's a way that this whole broader Project Monarch is getting a whole lot of people engaged and really able to leverage the amount of information that this can collect.
How long have monarch butterflies been tracked, even albeit with more low-tech methods?
They've been tracked in the United States since the late 1930s, was when a pair of researchers, Fred and Nora Urquhart, were very interested in learning where monarchs were going in the winter. So they tested a whole variety. They were actually, they were based in Southeast Canada in Ontario, and developed, through trial and error, a tag that stuck, and then placed lots of calls and newspapers and invitations to join and entomology clubs. And by the mid-1900s, they were getting people engaged all over the U.S. to place these tags. So since the late 1930s, there's been some tags on monarchs.
And you mentioned sticker tagging before. Mm-hmm. Is that method still in use?
Yes, very much so. And these new radio tags by no means replace the knowledge that we can get from the sticker tags.
There's a lot of stickers out there, aren't there?
There are. Like I did mention, there's about 250,000 stickers that they mail out to people every year. So that's an enormous amount of potential information. There's no need or reason to get 250,000 of these radio tags on monarchs. The radio tags are great for specific research questions. And so that's what's cool about this pilot year, is we leveraged, or CTT leveraged, a lot of partners nationwide to kind of figure out how to refine some of these research questions. There's a whole bunch now, as you alluded to, maybe more. But the sticker tags are a great way to get people engaged, get a great mass of tagging out there, and find out information at a scale that isn't quite what the radio tags might be.
So the number of butterflies you can track is one thing. Mm-hmm. Does the type of information differ now that you've got the sophisticated Blue Morpho trackers?
It sure does. So the sticker tags generally have a starting and an ending point. So we have a record of where the monarch was tagged with the sticker and then where it was recovered. That's most of those scenarios. With these radio tags, you get a map of every detection. It's astounding. So we can see that, for example, one that I tagged here in Michigan that 2 days later had already crossed the state border, and I can see which states it traveled through, and the timing of that, and also what might be delaying it. So if there's winds or temperatures that are not conducive to migration, we can learn what those winds and temperatures are like and see how the monarchs are responding.
Sounds like Life 360 for monarch butterflies. You mentioned the Australian monarchs earlier. Are there plans to track the Australian monarchs using this technology as well?
That is a great question. I don't know personally that there is at the moment, but I know that CTT is working with researchers all over the globe, and not even limited to monarchs. I mean, tags like this, similar tags have been placed on other things like dragonflies. There are some dragonfly species that migrate. There are some moth species that migrate that might be able to be good candidates. So there's opportunity to go beyond monarchs, and I would not be surprised if there were monarchs tagged outside of North America next year.
something very much to look forward to. Jennifer, it's been great talking about Project Monarch and the flight of the Monarch butterflies. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
You're welcome. Thank you, Julian.
That's Jennifer Thieme, Senior Science Manager at the Monarch Joint Venture in the United States, who's been heavily involved in the new Project Monarch.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.